I'm going to tell you a story. It's a story of something that happened a long time ago. It doesn't begin once upon a time, but it could. And I want you to listen to it as if you were hearing it for the first time. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all people." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Move among us with your Holy Spirit, O Lord, and speak your word through my words. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord. You are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. If you were to have driven through Hightstown any time since Thanksgiving, you would notice that Hightstown Engine Company No. 1 is having a Christmas tree sale. And undoubtedly, you would see a man in his 40s, a big, burly man who wore sort of a handkerchief tied around his head, who was always at the firehouse selling the Christmas trees. Sometimes, if it was a warm day, as it has been this week, he'd be sitting on the bumper of one of the fire trucks with the doors to the firehouse open, just sitting there watching the cars go by. And if he recognized you, he'd wave, always wave. His name was Davy, and he was one of the fire police. Davy loved the fire company. It was his life. He virtually lived at the firehouse, although he officially lived somewhere else. And he was the heart of the fire company. On Monday, we had two terrible fires in Hightstown. And I know that the Cranberry Fire Company came and gave mutual aid. And the first one was at 6 o'clock in the morning in an apartment house. And it was a kitchen fire, and the woman whose fire it was died. So that was very tragic. I went past the firehouse, not knowing that there was an action going on in another part of town, and there was Davey standing on the corner of Franklin and Main as a fire policeman, standing there directing traffic and making sure that when the trucks came back, they would be able to get safely back into the firehouse. Now, apparently, Davey didn't feel well that day, but he always answered the call. And so, even though he didn't feel well, when the call came out, he was there. And then he went and sat on the bumper of the fire truck and sold more Christmas trees. And then there was another terrible fire at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and Davey was asked to ride along so that he could direct traffic on the street near the fire. And at that fire, Davey had a heart attack. And the word came later from Princeton Hospital that Davey Littke had died. Well, the ripples went out through the fire company. And I got a call as chaplain to the fire company, and I went down, and just the firemen and other fire police were just milling around. And there were Christmas carols playing on the same loop that had been playing all during the time of the selling of the Christmas trees. And we weren't paying any attention. It was just background noise. And the firemen were hanging up the mourning bunting that fire companies do. And they put Davey's name on a plaque in front of the house in memoriam. And there were a lot of grown men crying. And suddenly, everybody seemed to notice that playing on the music, background music, was the Christmas song, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." And everybody just froze. And somebody, one of the firemen, using language that I cannot repeat in the pulpit, said, "Turn that off. It is not the most wonderful time of the year anymore." Well, some Christmases are like that. For many people, it is, thank God, the most wonderful time of the year. But for each one of us, there are Christmases when it's not. Not when there is an empty seat in the fire truck. Not when there's an empty chair at your table. Not when your body is ravaged with illness. Not when the depression is too much to bear. Not without her voice joining yours on the Christmas carols. Not when you feel all alone in a crowd. Not when you're not sure that your money is going to hold out. Not when you're not sure that you can stay sober during the Christmas holidays. It's the most wonderful time of the year, except when it's not. And trying to smile and say Merry Christmas is more than difficult. Some years, it's pretty nearly impossible. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "No one ever told me that grief felt so much like fear. I am not afraid, but the sensation is like being afraid. The same fluttering in the stomach, the same restlessness. It's the most wonderful time of the year, except when it's not. Not after he has died, not after the doctor gave you the news. Not after they told you that all that you hold dear is threatened. Not after, well, you fill in the blank. Not after Hurricane Sandy. Not when there is so much violence and destruction in the world. But in truth, it's never been the most wonderful time of the year. Certainly not in the days surrounding that first Christmas so long ago. The story of the birth of Jesus is not to be told with a jolly voice and a merry ho, ho, ho. It is a story of a teenage girl pregnant with a child that is not her husband's. It is a story of a child born in a dirty animal stall. It is a story of a family of refugees who had to flee their homeland so that their child would not be killed. It is a story of one sent into the world in peace who was condemned to death. It is a story of a light sent to shine in the darkness which the world snuffed out. It is the story of God's never-ending, self-giving mercy that was rejected and condemned. In their great work, Messiah, Handel quotes the prophet Isaiah, proclaiming that Jesus was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. One great theologian reminds us that we cannot come to the manger without acknowledging that it lies in the shadow of the cross. It is not the most wonderful time of the year. Only it is. It is if we forget for a moment about the tinsel and the trees, if we forget about the holly jolly tidings, if we forget for a moment about the presents and the ornaments and the trappings, and if we remember the story. Mary was alone and afraid, but God was with her and exalted her among women. Joseph was disgraced, but God revealed in Joseph's cause for disgrace God's plan to save the world. The world was in darkness, but God sent the light of life to shine. The lowly were imprisoned, but Jesus sent them free. The blind wandered aimlessly, but Christ gave them eyes to see. The lame were rejected, but through the Holy One they were made to leap and dance. The deaf were confined to silence, but the song of life unstopped their ears. The sorrowful grieved, but God wiped away our tears. We were alone, but in Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God is with us. The people rejected God, but God embraced us. The world crucified Christ, but God would not allow that to be the last word and gave us the sure hope of the resurrection. It is the most wonderful time of the year, not because you have to be cheery and happy and merry, and it's wonderful if you are, but because you don't have to be. You can have heavy spirits and shattered dreams, broken hearts and deep wounds, and still God comes to be with you, to comfort you, to redeem you, to restore you, to empower you, to strengthen you, to grant you peace, to be raised for you, to hold you in the communion of saints with those whom you have loved and lost, to store your tears in a bottle, to offer you eternal life. It is the most wonderful time of the year, for Christ is born. Love has come. God is with us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. In the fullness of time, O God, you sent your Son to be born of Mary, and his name was Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for the tidings of the angels, which bring not just joy but comfort. And we thank you for your presence with us. And we pray that you will always be present with us and with those whom we love but see no longer. Come, Lord Jesus, and hear our prayer, which we ask in your name. Amen.